Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. We're going to read verses 13 through 23. Romans 14, 13 through 23. And I will read the odd verses, and if together we'll read the even verses. Romans 14, 13 through 23. Romans 14, 13 through 23. If you have that, go ahead and stand this morning as we read the Word of God. Romans 14, 13 through 23. Let us now therefore judge one another. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not them your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that which he... And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And let's pray. Father, I do thank for today. I do thank for the opportunity we can be here to be able to hear the Word of God. And we thank you for the folks that are here that were able to be here that haven't been here for a while. We just thank you for the blessings that you've allowed them to be able to make and to be able to be here. We just pray that you give them the strength and the power that they need, but also strengthen us and help us all to hear the Word of God this morning so our faith can be increased, so we can rely more on you for our lives and reach more people with the gospel. Holy Spirit, please fill preacher with your power as he brings a message to us today. And we will give the honor and glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated.
All right, you may be seated. And as we look in Romans, chapter 14, Friday I was reading through the book of Romans, and then also read some of Charles Spurgeon's book, Lectures to My Students, and came across, of course, this thought and idea is, Lord, what do you want me to preach? And in this, I want to preach a message, the power of example, or the power in example. As we see here in Romans chapter 14, Paul is writing to the church in Roman, Roman church, that the importance of not being a stumbling block to another. How easily we are affected by what others do, or the example that others present in our lives. And as we see in verse 13, the warning there not to put a stumbling block in front of another man's way. That is to be a bad example, something like you would actually think, a stumbling block, whether you try to trip them up literally or in this area of through their life, as you doing something or saying something could cause someone either to fall into sin or to do wrong or to become hurt in their walk of faith. But you also see in verse 21, it says, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or to make them weak. And so we've got to be very careful what we allow to influence us, because we are very influential and not only in our lives of those around us, but we also let others influence us. And so throughout Scripture, there's those examples of those that had a great example in the lives of others. And we'll look at that in just a minute. But I want to give you some stories or some examples, because in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." As, of course, we see and know that Christ suffered wrongfully. Christ did nothing wrong, but yet was crucified for our sins and was falsely accused and mocked and ridiculed and crucified, Jesus being the greatest example of how we should live our lives. In the very name Christian that Brother Hager talked about in Sunday school for the last few weeks, boy, everything that he's taught on, and boy, I'm like, you know, is he knowing my notes? As he's just keep every week, it seems like there's something parallel that goes into. He talked about the importance of a name. And how wonderful that was, because of the testimony of our influence, in which we need to protect and not to be a stumbling block to others. But we know Jesus, the greatest example, and that word Christian, being Christ-like, the greatest name, the greatest honor that you and I have is to be called a Christian, a member or a child of God. The greatest thing that ever happened in my life was the day I got saved, the day I became a born-again Christian, saved, sanctified, and become whole in the sight of God in the area of my sins. And so as we go through life and we live that life or that testimony of a Christian being Christ-like, that example in which we live to the world will speak volumes, whether for ourselves and for wrong or for Christ. And so Jesus, the greatest example in verse 23 in 1 Peter 2, as he committed himself to him, judgeth righteously. You know, Jesus being our greatest example, everything that we do in life, we should look to Christ and look at how he lived, how he treated others, how he dealt with even the problems and even the racism back in the Bible days between the Jews and the Samaritans and others, and that even as Jews would not associate with others, that Jesus purposely went out of his way to reach and to teach and to help those that were lost. And so that should be our task in life, is to be like Christ's example and to live up to that. But not only did he live his life as an example and give his teachings as examples for us to live, but he also suffered it, but also in every other area, his moral and right conduct. And that word example means to copy for imitation. You open a box, it could be, you know, anything from a household tool to maybe a dresser or everything in boxes now. It's amazing. But you've put things together. You'll open up those instructions. Now, those instructions are to give you pointers on how to put it together. But there's some things that I love the most in there, and that's those little pictures. Those little pictures of how, you know, put B screw to A board, and boy, you just try to put it all together. And those examples help you in the process. And of course, if you're a man like me, you look at the pictures only, and you throw the book aside and you put it together, or you try to. You don't read all the. You just try to follow that example. Those examples help you. Have you ever tried to put something together that did not come with instructions or did not come with good instructions? I've put something together before that came with like a little sheet of paper, and I'm thinking, this is not going to go well. As those examples help you, just like we are not self-made men we or women. We have those that have invested their lives into us by example, whether good or bad, and have affected us. And that word example means to copy or imitation. God promises us that if we can copy, or if we can, we should copy things to be like Him. He wants us to copy His mercy in Luke chapter 6, verse 36. He wants us to copy His forgiveness, how Christ forgives and loves and forgives us. We should forgive others in Ephesians 4:32. His holiness in 1 Peter 1:16, that we should strive to be more like Him. And of course, our theme this year is to be holy. And from that verse right there in 1 Peter, God wants us to follow His example in His perfectness in Matthew 4:48. And in 1 John 4:7 through 12, He wants us to be more like His love, that the love of God and the love of Christ should be in our lives as we deal and treat others. And so many call themselves Christians, but there's nothing in their life that would show that they are a Christian. But if you've been born again into the family of God, then you can take on your father's tendencies if you choose. You and I, the day that we got saved, we have access to the fruit of the Spirit. We have access to the power of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within us. But whether we choose to follow the Spirit or whether we choose to follow the flesh, that is a choice that is up to us. Which example will we be in those around us? Regardless of our position, we are an example to example to someone. And you think, well, I don't really know how I would be an example to anyone. Far too often, you don't know who's watching. You don't know who sees how you handle situations. You don't know the times when your children are watching, or when even church members and family and friends or coworkers, they're watching how you react. They're watching how you, and it may be on purpose that they set that ticking time bomb on your Monday morning and they sit back and just say, okay, let's watch the fireworks. Let's watch the show. And you have the opportunity to be a good or bad example in every situation, every day. And so if we are saved, if we're within the family of God, we have the ability to take on our Father's attributes. And we've been talking on Wednesday nights about the moral attributes of God, the things in which we can relate. We can have the love of God. We can have forgiveness in our lives. We can have grace and mercy faithfulness, all of the things in which God is and has revealed to us through Scripture. We can, in some small part, and again, as I said every Wednesday night, and I will continue to say, we will never be like God, and that's never our claim or my intention on teaching this, because that was Satan's downfall, that he could be equal with God. But we can have the attributes that God has, but not on His level. We'll never be on God's level, but in the aspect of obtaining our Father's attributes, He can, through His Word, be an example to us. I want to give you an example of humility. I want to read you a story that truly is quite remarkable. A truly humble man is hard to find. As you go through life, people in general, we're self-consumed. We only care about what happens to us or what's said about us. You know, we'll go through a whole conversation, but when we hear our name, what do? We perk up. What? Somebody's saying something about me? Because we want to make sure they get it right. But a humble man's hard to find, but God delights in the selflessness of people. Booker T. Washington, of course, a renowned black educator, very famous and found in our history books and throughout history, was an outstanding example of this truth. Shortly after he took over the presidency of the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, he walked in an exclusive section of town when he was stopped by a wealthy white woman, not knowing the famous Mr. Washington by sight. She asked him if he'd like to earn a few dollars by chopping wood for her. Because he had no present business going on at the moment, the professor smiled, rolled up his sleeves, and proceeded to do the humble chore that she had requested. When he finished, he carried the logs into the house and stacked them by the fireplace, and the little girl noticed him and recognized him, and later revealed his identity to this lady. The next morning, of course, she was extremely embarrassed of what she had done, and she went to go see Mr. Washington in his office at the Institute and to apologize profusely. And he replied, "Oh, it's perfectly all right, madam. Occasionally, I enjoy a little bit of manual labor. Besides, it's always a delight to do something for a friend." She shook his hand warmly and assured him that his meek and gracious attitude had endeared her to him. And, of course, in her admiration, she proceeded to persuade some wealthy acquaintances in which she knew to donating thousands and thousands of dollars to the Tuskegee Institute because of his example. Every day we have the opportunity to be an example. What will we do? Now, some of us probably could have been in that situation, say, "Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm above that," or handling it in different situations. But the example of humility that Mr. Washington had, what a wonderful, wonderful example in for truth. In just a minute, I'm going to have our gentleman put up a little quick video that came from Voice of the Martyrs about an example of self-sacrifice, or the example of dying of oneself once to do the will of God. So, fellows, if you're ready, go ahead and put that up there real quick. And it's about 5 minutes long. We'll watch this, and then we'll continue with the message this morning.
In Scripture and in church history, we read stories of those who paid the ultimate price to advance God's kingdom, considering it an honor and a privilege to give even their very lives to spread the gospel and to be a faithful witness for Christ in this world. For more than 450 years, Fox's Book of Martyrs has recorded stories of martyrs, and we continue that work to this day. We also commemorate martyrs on the memorial that I'm standing in front of. But it's an important question: why do we do these things? It's not to share God's glory with men. All the glory belongs to God alone. Rather, it's so that we may be inspired by those who came before us.
It was 1993 when Pastor John Paul Sankagui planted a church in a Muslim neighborhood just outside the capital city of the Central African Republic. Pastor John Paul began to work and minister in the area alongside his wife Mary and their children, taking every opportunity to point the local people to Jesus Christ. 20 years later, he was still ministering when civil war came to the CAR, and in the years of fighting and instability and need, many of the people in Pastor John Paul's congregation fled the area. The friendliness and then even the tolerance of local Muslims for a Christian church began to disappear. But Pastor John Paul felt strongly that God had called him to that church. And so it was that he was at the church on February 7th, 2017, and the followers of a notorious Muslim warlord attacked the church. They shot and killed Pastor John Paul. They looted the church and then the parsonage, and then they burned both to the ground. Pastor John Paul left behind Mary after 48 years of marriage, as well as 11 children and 17 grandchildren. John Paul was one of six pastors killed in the CAR in just a six-week period at the beginning of 2017. He knew the danger. He knew that his safety was at risk. And yet he also knew the call of God to shepherd his flock and to reach Muslims for Christ. He decided in his heart that answering that call was worth any risk. Today we honor the memory of Pastor John Paul Sankagui and his sacrifice for the cause of Christ.
John Paul is a wonderful example of understanding the worth of Christ Jesus our Lord. In Revelation 12:11, we read that they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives, even unto death. So we understand in Scripture that we overcome the enemy and the fallen world by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the word of our testimony. But the rest of the passage talks about those who loved not their lives, even unto death. Pastor John Paul is a wonderful example of someone who considered the worth of Christ and the value of obeying Christ in this world to be more than the value of his very life. He considered it an honor and a privilege to stand for Christ and maintain a witness for Christ in an area of tremendous adversity, in a place where he could absolutely expect that it may cost his very life. So I want to lead us in a prayer so we can be inspired by his example, to go and do likewise, to joyfully and willingly offer ourselves as a sacrifice for Christ and to advance his kingdom in the fallen world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider John Paul's sacrifice, him willingly paying the ultimate price to be a witness for you in this world, I pray that we are inspired to go and do likewise. Father, I pray that we will find it easier because of his example to give you everything and anything that we may be holding back, because you are worth it. And what an honor, what a privilege for us to take part in being your ambassadors in this fallen world, Father, to bring forth your truth to your glorious name. May we be inspired to do that powerfully, effectively, and joyfully. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we look at that, of course, I've got some little flyers there that on the table there that you can grab. Just 3 years ago, I don't know what I was doing on February 7, 2017. I'm sure if I were to go back and look up my photos, I'd probably find something along that timeline of what went on. While here in America, we went around our daily business, while all around the world, there are Christians who are being persecuted for their belief and for their faith. While we enjoy many things here in America, and boy, we complain when, you know, we can't get the right price of ground hamburger or the price of vegetables or fruit are too high, or when we can't get the parking spot right close to where we work and we've got to walk a little bit. Well, the things in our life are so complex to the fact that we don't keep the things that are important in our mindset. Of course, Pastor John Paul, his example to give of himself, that God's will and sacrifice, that if this is what he needed to do, whatever the cost, to serve the Lord. But yet many won't cross the street to give the gospel. Many won't step out of their comfort zone for the sake of feeling awkward and talking to a stranger about their lost condition and giving an example of their own testimony to them. What example are we? There is a power of example in which we live each and every day. And people are watching you, whatever you do. You know, someone will follow your example. And if you set the wrong example, someone's going to follow you down that path of destruction and will the fact that God's going to hold you accountable, as we see, as you will be that stumbling block in which we read in Romans chapter 14. And if you set the good example, that means that as those that follow you, they're going to be blessed for doing so. And God will reward you and honor you for many people getting saved and in the light of living right for God by your godly example in which you've lived. Because who you influence, will influence others. So the example in which you live today will cause a domino effect. If you've ever played dominoes, you ever set them up. Now, of course, after doing it once, I thought that's too much work to ever do that again. But you set those dominoes over on the floor, on a table when you were a kid, or maybe you got real into it and you had books going from the table over to the bookcase and then down all over some pretty interesting videos if you ever look online of the extent that people will go through. But all it takes is you to knock over one. And boy, that effect, that example will follow out throughout the whole group. If you've done it right. The worst was when you set it all up and then it only does halfway or it goes wrong. But the example in which you live can cause others to live right. And so as a parent, you allow your children will become what you are. It will become, they'll follow your example. It's amazing your children will talk like you. They will have your mannerisms as a teenager and as an I thought, no, I'll never do the things my parents do. And now when I get older, I'm thinking, wow, I really am becoming more and more like my parents as I follow their example. I find myself doing raising my children like they raised me. I prepare my food like they prepared food. All the things in which we do, we follow by example. I don't remember where I heard this story. But I heard a story of a lady who was teaching her daughter. I don't know if it was a ham. Was it you shared it to me? I can't remember. Some kind of a meat, and they prepared it this certain way, and chopped off the ends of the ham. And so when her daughter asked, "Mom, why do we do this?" She said, "This is just what we do. It's what my mother always did. This is why we do this." And after just being a little curious, she went to her mom and said, "Mom, why do we cut off the ends of the ham?" She goes, "Well, I had to. Our oven was only this big." And so our example, as you will follow those that have invested in you, those in which you see, you'll be, whether you chop off the ends of the ham, you will become like your parents. I know your teenager is probably sitting there like, "That'll never happen." But as you follow the example of your parents, children will become as they follow your example. That's a new one. Your example as a pastor. I said the example as a church, and many people will become as the example in which they follow as the pastor determines what the church will be like. And of course, it's important that as a pastor, and there's many chapters in the books of the Bible that are written specifically to pastors. Why? Because the importance of setting the right example. Because if we were to set the bad example, the influence would be catastrophic in the area of falling away from what God wants. And whether it's a school peer group, whether you go to a school where there's kids your age and the peer group, peer pressure, many students will follow in line with what other kids do. Why are you doing that? Well, because everybody else is. And that peer pressure and that example is very strong for children, whether it's how they talk. You talk a certain way because so-and-so talked a certain way. Your hair a certain style because so-and-so's wearing their hair a certain style or a certain color. Or listening to the wrong kind of music or the fashion or alcohol or cigarettes because an acquired taste for a teenager to think, "Oh, those are delicious. I want to have some more." No, that peer pressure causes by the wrong kind of example, the wrong kind of friends to do the wrong kind of things. And that example can be destructive as young people will follow the wrong crowd. As many young people decide, you know, instead of deciding, asking, is this cool? They should be asking, does this please God? Is this the right kind of example I need to be for my friends? Is this the right kind of example I need to for my siblings? And so look up here, pay attention. As also says, even as a that as we are an example that we could possibly be a stumbling block to others, you know, even as a Bible college president or a teacher teaching the student or classes or even the professors in which we have in our country, unfortunately being the wrong kind of example as they declare that God's not real and that they make choices based upon what they feel is right. But even in a Bible college, as a teacher or a president would, what they teach to the students will affect them as they go out and preach in the churches for the next 30, 40 years. That example is very important. Whatever, you ever notice, whatever a judge decides in a case, that it becomes, as his judgment is given in a case, that it becomes the precedent for future cases? That one says one thing that all the other judges say, well, okay, we'll do the same thing. Or when they have a problem or situation, they look out to see what another judge says and say, well, here's what we're going to do. And that becomes the precedent. That becomes the norm. Or one state passes a law. Guess what? Other states start passing laws and everyone else just kind of falls right in place. Why? Because we are followers of example. And as even as laws that the government passes soon becomes acceptable behavior in our communities, such as abortion or prostitution or pornography or sodomite marriages. Why? Because we are followers of examples and around us. And that's why the power of example should be an important consideration in decisions we make, places we go, people we allow to influence us, and your children. Parents, you remember your children are white bulletin boards, or not bulletin boards, whiteboards, and you decide who's going to write on their lives by who you pass the marker to. That Sunday school teacher, that church worker, and that person, that grandparent, or someone that has a godly influence. Boy, what a wonderful opportunity for them to write on their lives, to influence them, to be a good example. But you got to be very careful who you pass that marker to, who you give the opportunity to be an example to your child, because you are responsible to God for who you pass that marker to. And the life in which we all have, someone has written onto our board in life and been an example to us, whether good or bad. You can probably go back to your childhood or your teenage years or your young adult years and say, well, there was someone who was not a good example. There was several people that were not a good example, but we can all go and say, well, there's some people that influenced me for right. There were some people that were good examples. We can go back through and read of the old time religion and read of the preachers of the past who have carried on the torch, been a good examples for us as Christians to know the Word of God better and to understand. As we look into Scripture, we see good examples and bad examples. As you see the power of examples, even in Scripture, in John chapter 21, verse 1 through 3, it was Peter that said, I go a fishing. And that's the way he said it. That wasn't my bad English. That was the way Peter said it. He said, I go a fishing. You know what? Four other disciples, they said, we go also with thee. Peter said, I'm just going to go fishing. Nothing wrong with that. But four others said, you know what? That's a good idea. Let's follow. Usually it takes one person's idea and boy, everyone else will follow along the power of example. We see that Peter separated himself from the Gentile Christians because of a fear of something. And Barnabas followed his example in Galatians 2:11-14. And it was Paul that rebuked him for this because of his example upon Barnabas. We see in Proverbs 22:24-25, it says, make no friend with an angry man, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Why? Because you can be a bad example by being around the wrong kind of spirit, the wrong kind of attitude. That peer pressure that we find in Exodus chapter 23 and verse number 2. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Why that peer pressure to follow after those around us? Leviticus chapter 8 and verse number 3. It was Israel that was commanded not to follow Egypt's or the Canaan's example that were around them, but to do what God wanted them to do. But yet again, that peer pressure to follow around what everyone else is doing. It's always amazed me that everyone else that wants to go against, to step out and to do wrong and to rebel, they always do the same thing. They always dress a certain way. They all do the same things to be different. It's always amazed me. But yet we've got to understand that peer pressure to do right, to be the right kind of example. Are we being the right kind of example to those around us? We see that Sodom and Gomorrah in Jude 7 giving themselves over to fornication and giving and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, as is put in Scripture, as an example, as a warning, as a danger that we as mankind do not copy or follow after Sodom and Gomorrah. And we have, and I believe we're paying the price as a country and as a society. We see the example in 1 Corinthians 10:6 of the wilderness generation Israelites. Now these things were our examples. To inherit, we should not lust after evil things as they do, or as they also lusted. Scripture after scripture after scripture that God has given us as an example of either what to do or what not to do. 1 Peter 2:21, as Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example, as we read just a moment ago. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, it was Paul that said, "Be ye followers of even as I am also of Christ." As Christ, or as Paul is saying, I'm going to follow Christ. So as an example, follow after me as I follow after the Savior. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Wise men can be an example, but he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Oh, that warning of example of which friends should we make? Of what path do we want? Do we want to have, do we want to be wise, or do we want to be destroyed? Ungodly sinners or the scornful in Psalms 1 through 6 or Ephesians 4:17 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners." As that is a warning, as a heed of what the examples of those in our life. And as we pass that marker, so to speak, of our board and who we allow to influence, who we allow, and that's why we've got to be very careful. And what preaching we listen to, and what kind of preacher we listen to, or the version of the Bible, why that's so important that we read out of the King James Version, so we don't allow the wrong examples to influence us, to deceive us, to cause us to believe something or to think something that is not truth, or to think in which we're doing right, follow after that which is evil. And so we've got to be very careful, and we've got to ask ourselves this question this morning: who is watching me? To who am I an example? Because whether it's your children or your teens or someone else's, you're an example. Everyone here in this church has the opportunity and has the ability and the power of an example over others this morning. You have the example over a new Christian. Or maybe over new members, or the parents of your children's friends, or school parents, or folks in your adult Sunday school class, or folks that sit near you in church. You have an example, and that's why it's so important that Scripture tells us, even as Brother Hager mentioned this morning, the importance of having a good name. That good name, that good example, as we not only represent our families, but we also, and more importantly so, represent Christ here on this earth. What kind of example are we leaving? What kind of example are we? What kind of example are you this morning? A godly influence is one who is going to move others to do God's will. And before we can influence others towards godliness, we've got to make sure that our decisions, our lives, that we are being a good example under God's influence. If I'm going to be under the influence of anything, it's going to be under godly leadership. It's going to be under godly things, and it's going to be under the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's amazed me how people will give their lives over the influence of the media, will give over their lives to the influence of drugs and alcohol, or others to follow after what they do. Now, if we're going to be under the influence, I want to be under the influence of this book. I want to be under the influence. We're under the influence of something. You and I, we get to decide what it's going to be. I want to be under the influence of the guiding of the Holy Spirit and tapping into its power so that I can please the Lord and be a good example, not just to my family, but to this church and to others, because I want to see my great grandchildren. I may not see them, but I want to watch them from heaven's shore, and I want to see my great great grandchildren serve the Lord and love God with their life. If the Lord tarries, I want to have that example that my parents have given me passed down to my children so they can pass it to their children and their children's children. And I want to have that good godly heritage and be a godly influence. As we are a godly influence, we'll do a couple things, and very quickly I'll give them to you. In Psalms 1, verse 1 through 3, we'll see that if we're a godly influence, our example is going to encourage others to walk closely with God. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth for. Well, what an encouragement and what an opportunity in our example we have to show others the joy in being a spirit-led and spirit-filled Christian and serving the Lord. We can also be a need filler, an example of meeting needs. Mr. Booker T. Washington saw a need, some wood that needed to be cut, and was not above that and said, you know what, there's a job that needs to be done, let's do it. What example are we giving the next generation? Do our children see us duck out of opportunities to serve others and to help others? Are we being the kind of example that we claim to be as a Christian? Will be a need filler. Luke chapter 10 verse 37, and he said, he that showeth mercy on him, then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Jesus, the greatest example, said, okay, you've just seen what is supposed to be done, now go do it. Follow that example. As we pull out those instructions to put together, I remember when our children were first being born, of course, all the dressers and cabinets and cribs and things that we bought for our children. I remember all the instructions and following those little pictures. Those instructions, those examples are there so you can copy and follow what's just been shown to you. Are we being a need filler? Are we being an example to those around us? Being a good example also calls us to be trustworthy. That we can keep confidence, that we're careful about sharing news, that we're careful not to gossip, because repeating facts, whether they be true or not, can cause or lead to gossip. In James 3:6 or Proverbs 26:20 through 22. And boy, as we be very careful not to give the wrong example to those around us, that we are a real example. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. James 3:2, for in many things we offend all, and if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, but able to also to bridle the whole body. Well, we've got to be an example in our words. Be the right kind of example that those that are listening, whether on the other end of the telephone or all those that are listening through the reading of our words on social media or through conversation, that our words should be the right kind of example. That as we use those words, we use them and being very mindful that those words in which we select and use can be the right or bad kind of example. Then in our conversation, our lifestyle, and in our compassion, are we the right kind of example? Do those around us see our example for the caring and needs of others? How do they see the example in our spirit or our attitude? You know, attitudes are contagious. They are. They're just as contagious as the virus. More because whether it's a good attitude or a bad attitude. You ever, Philippians 4:8, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, you have a good attitude, guess what? It's going to wear off. You can only hang around people with bad attitudes so long before, guess what? Their dark cloud's going to rain all over your parade too. And boy, you're going to find yourself in a bad attitude. Proverbs 25:28 says, he that hath no rule of his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Not only should we be a good example in our attitude, but in faith. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But without faith, in Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please him. Without faith in our lives, it's impossible for us to please God. Guess what? Tomorrow morning, if you wake up and you don't live by faith, your choices and decisions you make throughout your day, they're not based upon your faith and trust in God. They're based upon your trust in yourself and in your own power and your own ability. Example in our faith. We've got to be a good example in purity, in the purity of our mind. Philippians 4:8, that the things in which we do, the things in which we say or think about or allow to be an example to us or influence us. Boy, let's determine that we're going to be a positive example. Let's determine that we're going to be a good example for the Lord this week. As we bear that name Christian this week. As those coworkers and those around us that know that we're a Christian. And hopefully they do. Hopefully you're not the covert, secret agent Christian. Where you go around your life and it's trying to, your whole goal is to keep everyone from knowing you're a Christian. So that when you have a bad day, when you have a bad moment, when you are a bad example, it's no big deal because they expect it of me. Now I hope we wear that title of Christian with pride. I hope that as I've been watching a lot of documentaries and reading about the Holocaust and many of the Jews that in the ghetto of Warsaw that as they first were told about having to identify or mark themselves with the Star of David and being able to only go in certain places and do certain things. As I remember this one little boy, somehow this boy made it through, and of course this man was up in his senior years, and he's telling the story of the conversation that he had with his father and how he was so embarrassed or how he was just so distraught that how they were being treated that he said, I don't want to wear this. I don't want to put it on. I'm not going to do it. And his father said, you wear that with pride. You wear that with pride. And it said how it changed his whole demeanor. And as he had to walk in the gutters and wasn't allowed to walk on the street and had to live and do certain things that would have at the time would have been shameful. But through the example of his father, wore it with pride and was able to handle the things in which came his way and the wrongful treatment in which many lost their lives. But what kind of example are we? The example could have been his father said, you know what? Yeah, you're right. We need to become bitter and filled with hatred and filled with anger and envy. And boy, just become vicious to those that are doing wrong to us. But yet, he said, let's just wear it with pride. What kind of example are we leaving for the next generation? What kind of example are we living for God? And those around us that know we're a Christian, the community that knows their church, the Lighthouse Baptist Church at 3838 Howell Branch Road, what kind of example are we? I hope that we'd take that term or that name Christian, we'd wear it with pride. Oh, you're a Christian. You're not. And then we'd be the right kind of example. Because the world expects something different. The world is looking and knowing that a Christian claims to be different, so therefore they're expecting something to be different. Let's live the right kind of example as we follow after Christ to emulate or to become like Christ. I hope that we would take the example of humility that Booker T. Washington lived. I hope that our lives would be filled, like Paul, as he said, I die daily. The example of Paul and the early apostles and the disciples that followed and suffered for Christ's sake and counted it a joy to do so. That we follow after the example of Pastor John Paul that said, you know what, doing God's purpose in my life, it's more important than living. It's more important than anything else because God called me here. Therefore, this is the most important thing I could do. What an example his 17 grandchildren will follow. And his children will be able to look at the example in which their father or grandfather lived and died. Because of his belief in doing God's will for his life. What kind of example are we leaving? What kind of example, what kind of legacy, what kind of name are we giving to our children and our great-grandchildren? Young person, what kind of example are you allowing to influence you? Is it your friends or your buddies or those around you that you're going to allow to influence you more than mom and dad? Let me tell you, your friends and or even your boyfriend or girlfriend one day, they'll never love you to the extent that mom and dad have. They'll never have the years and of praying and caring for you like mom and dad have. You follow after their example. You follow after those in your life that have godly examples, and you follow and emulate them. Because the example of your life, the example in those that you take the markers of their life and write on their lives and influence them, your example depends upon who you allow to be an example to you. Let's look to the Lord and let's look to God's Word. In Scripture, God's told us what kind of example He wants us to be as Christians. In the area of our money, others, forgiveness, love, our grace, mercy, which we should have towards others, and the caring for other souls, all of it's right here for an example for us to live so we can be an example to others. You know, the Bible says that the world's going to know Christ by our love. You know how the way the world's going to know our love? By our example. What kind of example we are living and giving or showing. What kind of example are you today? What kind of example are we concerned about leaving? What are we concerned about in our life? Is it about appearing wealthy, appearing successful, or in the area of teenagers or young people appearing cool? Is that all the only example that we're cared about? Or is it the example of an individual who loves the Lord and will go to any extent, even like Pastor John Paul, even if it means dying of self, to do God's will? What an example. No greater life, the Bible says, no greater love can one man have than to lay down his life for his friend. What greater love can we have than to lay our life down for the cause of Christ? We say we love Jesus. We sing songs about the fact that, we sing songs about the fact that Jesus loves us. But we also sing songs and say as Christians, boy, I love the Lord. I love Jesus. But you know how we're going to prove it? By our example. By the choices and the decisions we make. What example are you? I hope that we'd follow after Christ's example to care and to love for others. I hope that we'd follow after Christ's example as He proved sampled His love for us on the cross, showing us and revealing His promise as He died on the cross. If you're here this morning or listening online and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you trust Him today? Would you follow Jesus, the greatest example? Put your faith and trust in Him and realize that your own good works, the best things you've done in life, cannot get you to heaven. It's only by the saving blood of Jesus Christ and the grace and mercy in which He's bestowed upon your account, if you'll accept it. Maybe you're here this morning. We need to search ourselves many times. What kind of example are we being? You know, we have all had bad days. We've all had days where maybe we wish we could go back and restart it because we weren't a good example. We blew it. We lost, maybe we yelled or we lost our temper or we said things or did things that we shouldn't have. And for that moment, boy, we're ashamed and we understand we were a bad example. But every day, it's a day that in which we get to live for the Lord. What kind of example? As Paul said, it's a daily task to die to self. Every day, it's a struggle with our flesh. Every day, it's a struggle and a spiritual warfare in who we're going to serve. But I hope each and every day we'll ask ourselves, who am I going to be an example to? And search and look in God's Word and follow after so that we can be the right kind of example. Everyone here can all attest and probably share with those that have been in examples in their life. Whether they be godly examples or maybe go back before we were saved or in our younger years, go back and give illustrations of those who are the wrong kind of examples. But we will influence others. What will we do? as we pick up that marker right on the life of an individual, right up on the life of those kids in our Sunday school class, or the kids that ride our bus routes, or the kids that that are sitting here in our auditorium, the children of other members, what are we writing on their lives and our example? The things in which they see us do on Facebook, or the things in which they see that we like, or the things in which we're a part of, is it the right kind of example? Are we being a godly example? Because being a godly example will push others towards doing and following after God's will. Which one are we? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day.